Aren't you glad that as Christians we get to be joyful? Can you imagine, just come to the Lord and He'll make your life miserable, unhappy, angry, horrible, horrific. You know, as Christians, we're supposed to be demonstrating that joy. And this morning, I want to talk to you about joy. You're going to spend the next couple of weeks in this. This morning, I want to talk about joy, what it is, how we get it. I want to talk about joy versus the world's concept of happiness. We're going to talk about who's trying to steal your joy. And then next week, we're going to talk about the effects of joy and some other things. I've entitled this message this morning, Got Joy? Do you have joy? If you're a Christian, you should. And it should be seen, not just something down there that nobody can see at all. You know, I'm sure that the Cougs fan, they're feeling a sense of joy, maybe happiness, maybe I'll probably use the word happiness instead there. Did anybody hear about Sloane Stephens? Does anybody know who Sloane Stephens is? She is the 957th rated tennis player in the world. The 957th. Okay? There's 957 people above her. Okay? Rated. 957, might I tell you. She just won the U.S. Open Tennis Championship. 950, in July, 957 people were rated above her. She just got to cash a check for $3.7 million. But is that joy or is that happiness? That would probably be happy there. I want to talk to you this morning about joy. Do you got joy? We're going to start in Nehemiah 8, verses 9 through 12, and that's going to be our main text on joy for this morning. We'll look at some other things as well, but I want to talk about this. Let me set it up for you a little bit. It's the Israelites went into captivity. All of Judah went into captivity with the Babylonians. They come out of captivity in about, 586 B.C. And then they come out and Zerubbabel leads them out. And then all of a sudden, about 80 years later, Ezra comes back and leads a return. They start building the temple, and Ezra talks to him about the law. And then Nehemiah comes back in about 437 or something like that. And they rebuild the wall. They're rebuilding the wall. But what Jerusalem looked like in its glory and what it looks like right now is a lot different. They're trying to rebuild this broken down place, and they're doing their best, really. But it's still not anything close to where it's at. And so they're a little bit sad, and they're trying to reform this concept of following God and being blessed by God and enjoying His blessings and His provisions in our life and what the Lord is doing, but He's rebuilding something inside of them. And so and they just get done reading the law. He's reading the law to them. Ezra reads the law, the first five books of the Bible. He's reading that to them, to about 50,000 people. We'll pick it up in verse 9. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep." I think they were realizing, man, we're not where we used to be. "For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." When they heard this, when they heard this spoken, I think what happened is they heard it. They heard what God said. They heard its cautions. They heard all the great things the Lord wanted to do in their life. And then they heard and read about how God cautioned them not to fall away. And then they realized that they did. And then all of a sudden they went into captivity just as it was spoken here. And now they're coming back out of that and trying to rebuild everything. But I think that they were sorry for all the things that had happened. All of the tragedies, all of the issues, all of the problems, all of the toughness. Ever have some of that go on in your life? "For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then they said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our God. Do not sorrow.'" God's going to change something here. "Do not sorrow," and say it with me, "for the joy of the Lord is your strength." "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. All of a sudden now, that which they didn't listen to for many generations, they're looking at it and they're getting a revelation of God and what He wants in their lives. I think all of us need to come to that point where we get a revelation of God and what He wants out of our lives. Because I know if you're anything like me, I ran from Him so much because I wanted to do my own thing in my life. I didn't want to do what He wanted because I thought it would be boring. And so I'm running from God until you have an aha moment and you realize, wait a second, God wants to add things into my life that I've been looking for in the world, but they only are possessed in trueness in the hands of our Father. The word joy here means rejoice in a gladness. It's a gladness of heart. It's something that radiates out of the depths of your soul. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hear this then. God's joy, possessed by you, equals strength to face the challenges of your life. When you possess God's joy, you have His strength. Now think about it. God's joy. Now, we're talking Old Testament here. We're talking God's joy. We're going to possess God's joy. But I think it's fair to say that many Christians don't believe that God is happy and joyful all the time. Especially the Old Testament guy. I mean, my gosh, He blew up Sodom and Gomorrah, rained fire and brimstone and the plague. Oh my gosh, the guy gets a little ticked off up there. We get this idea for some reason that we have this angry God up there who's mad at us. Who's mad at us. It's not that Christians don't want God to be happy. They're just slow to understand the theology that God is always, essentially, and completely joyful. God is always, essentially, and completely joyful. We may believe that He is joyful sometimes, that He's like us. Oh, I got a little happiness. Oh, that hurt, and I'm sad. And remember, nothing takes God by surprise. He's not going, you can't surprise God. Go, surprise? Oh my gosh. Wow, didn't see that coming. That's something God never says. I say that all the time. We may believe that He's joyful sometimes. That makes sense to us because we relate to Him like we relate to ourselves. But is God always essentially and completely joyful at the core of His being? Yes. Yes. Let me take a look at Galatians 5, 23 and 22 and 23. Now we're going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. It says here, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You see, the fruits of the Spirit aren't just little characteristics flying around in outer space someplace that we're trying to grab hold of, or that we go onto a tree and pick off someplace. The little fruits like, hey, what? I found the Spirit fruit tree, and I grabbed a little love, and I grabbed a little joy. They're not getting them. You're not picking fruit from someplace. What these are the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, i.e. the characteristics of God Himself. This defines who He is. And then He asks, would you like to partake of who I am? Would you like of some of what I've got, of who I am, the character and nature of who I am? Would you like some? I will share some of me with you. Some of my characteristics. I'm going, wow, what a great opportunity. What a great invitation. He's self-contained and He needs nothing. And He invites us to partake of who He is. Of who He is. This is who He is. The very nature of God is that He is love. For God is love. He that loveth doth know enough God. Because God is love. He is it. That's His nature. He's the agape, self-sacrificing God. He is joy. He's cheerful and delighted. He is peace. That word in the scripture means He's prosperity. He brings blessing where He goes. He is long-suffering. That word means emotionally calm in the face of provocation or misfortune and without complaint or irritation. It's another word for patience. I'm not bothered by that. Now, I wish to God I could say all the time, I am not bothered by that. But there are a lot of times in my life where I say, I am bothered by that. God is not bothered. Now, he may respond to try to change us and grow us and do all those things. But nothing takes him by surprise. He goes on to say, he is kindness. He grants favor. He is goodness. He's good all the time, and all the time he's good, right? He is faithfulness. One who complete confidence can be placed in. One who your complete confidence can be placed in. He is gentleness, mildness, or humility. He is self-control, which is exercise complete control over one's desires and actions. Wow, this is who God is. And he invites us to partake of that Spirit. But we can only partake of him through the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit comes in, he brings those, and those aspects can be touched and tasted and utilized in our life if we will move toward them. But it's who God is.
God's just an angry guy up in heaven, mad at the things of the world.
No, he's not. God is up in heaven loving us because he sent his Son to save us. And now he moves toward us, not away from us. He's always moving towards you. He never goes, well, nah, forget it, dude. I don't like you. I don't like you. Who's the guy in the white hair? I don't like you, dude. No. He's going, I like you. You look like me. He moves toward us. We look at life the way we evaluate it. When someone hurts us, we back up. When we feel shame, our eyes go down. We have all of these aspects of what we do, and we relate that to our Father. He doesn't act like you act. Thank God, or we would all be destined for hell. He acts contrary. He's different. He's just a little bit different. Thank God. Because he keeps moving toward us. He is joy. He is joy, and he invites you to walk in it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That joy comes from God is your strength, not from some other place. Hear this. Your joy that God wants to give you has to come from him. Your joy can't be in any other or in any other thing. Or it's not the joy of the Lord that is your strength. We can find out when our joy is on other things by when that thing gets touched or hurt or damaged or taken away. Is our joy that's a fruit of the Spirit deeply embedded in us that keeps us moving forward in the midst of tragedy? The word joy here, kara, it means cheerful, a calm delight. Cheerful, calmly happy, or well off. Well off. It's God's definition of well off. It's not the world's. God's definition of well off. You know what God's definition of well off for you is? It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. We all know that song by Horatio Stafford. He wrote that, you know, he was a businessman in Chicago. A very wealthy lawyer and businessman. He had a lot of stuff. His son died of pneumonia in 1871. He had five children, four daughters, one son, lost his son. His wife then, with her four daughters in 1873, who took an oceanic liner going to Europe. He was supposed to be on the business trip, but he had to stay behind. He goes, the ship runs into another ship and it sinks. 212, I think, of the, 226 of the 313 passengers aboard all drowned. Somehow, Mrs. Spafford ends up, a sailor comes by and sees her and pulls her off of a floating piece of wood and rescues her. She then sends a message to her husband as she gets over into Europe. Sends a message by, he wired her a message, she wired him a message, and it says, saved alone, what shall I do? Saved alone, what shall I do? All four daughters died. Now a son, all four daughters, all five are now gone. And then he, as you know the story, goes to meet his wife in Europe, and he's at the spot right where the other ship went down. And he writes this. He writes the beautiful song that we all know, "It Is Well With My Soul." When peace, like a river, we have it up here. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like a sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well. You see, he understood he was well off. He just lost 5 children. Also, he did lose his business in the Great Chicago Fire. He also went through that tragedy as well. But somehow, instead of circumstance and situation dictating his joy, he knew that it was well with his soul because Jesus Christ was at the center of his being. You see, joy is a whole different concept than just some sort of, oh, this touched my emotions. This touched my emotions. This touched my emotions. I want to talk about the world's definition of happiness. Now again, if you look biblically, a lot of biblical definitions of happiness tie it into joy, that concept of joy. It's not a bad thing. It's an awesome thing. It's this well-being. But I want to contrast, if you will, what the world's definition out there of joy, of happiness is versus the biblical definition of what joy is. You see, happiness, according to the world, according to what we buy into it, is an emotional expression or feeling that is usually based on situations and circumstances, but it's temporary, it's fickle, it's transitory, it's fleeting. It's all based on, this tickled me, this, oh yes, oh that feels good, oh yes, that's the world's aspect of happiness. But joy is a state of being that can be perpetual and ongoing, regardless of the situation or the circumstance. You see, happiness looks at life from a temporal now perspective. Happiness looks at life from a now temporal perspective. How am I feeling? Are my needs met? Do I feel good? Am I uncomfortable? Is everything great? Do I enjoy life? Is everything going well? Am I feeling good? Am I comfortable? You see, happiness always looks at the now. Joy looks at life from the eternal, from the down the line, from the future aspect of what's out there perspective. Joy or happiness? How am I now? Joy? Wow. Heaven's door is open. Oh my gosh, what could be so devastating in our life? Now, again, I'm not trying to make light of this. There's all sorts of stuff. But I'm trying to get us to the point where Horatio was. All of that happening, but he saw something further down the line. Our illustrators meeting, was talking with Aaron, and Aaron is saying that in driver's ed, they taught him aim high in steering. I go, aim high in steering? What is that? He said the whole idea what the instructor would say is, don't look right here, be trying to drive between the lines, or are you going to drive like this? Trying to make sure you don't go outside the lines, and so you keep driving like this. He said you need to look way down the line at the goal, and as you look at the goal, all of a sudden everything will move toward that goal, and you won't be doing this, you'll just be moving in a straight line right down toward the goal. You see, happiness is like this. I gotta stay in the lines. Oh my gosh, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. I gotta do all these things. It takes so much effort to stay happy. Joy is a state of being because you see, down the line, your Lord and Savior opening up heaven's door. You see His power, His strength, His love. You trust Him that no matter what happens in your life, you've got a purpose, you've got a destiny. You're gonna use it for good somehow. Because I'm looking down the line, I'm trusting, I'm believing, I'm expecting. You see, joy is long-term oriented. Happiness is, oh, where am I at? Oh, turn the air conditioning on, I'm hot. Oh, turn the heat on, I'm cold. Happiness. Happiness. You can be happy and not be experiencing joy. Understand that? You can be happy and not experiencing joy. I.e. those who are involved in illicit sex or involved in drugs or alcohol or so many other, you list any vice, anything out there. You know what? When I take that pill, when I drink that stuff, when I'm having that sexual encounter, all of a sudden I'm feeling ecstasy and everything's wonderful and I am happy. But if you ask that person, is there joy in your soul? They would say, no, I am lacking that. I am looking for happiness to cover up the lack of my joy. I'm looking for happiness to make me not feel the pains I feel inside. Happiness will not help you. Joy will. Joy will transform you because I'm looking down the line at what Christ invites me into and has in store for me, and I'm trusting Him for. Happiness happens below, happiness happens above the waterline. Everybody can see it. Happy. Joy, it's something happens below the waterline. It's in your guts. It's based on a relationship with Christ. It's based on something deeper and eternal, not temporary. Happiness is situational. Joy is relational. Happiness is on the situation. If there's a good situation, I'm happy. If there's a bad situation, I'm sad. I'm not happy. I'm depressed. I'm down. I'm angry. I'm all of these other things. My emotions change. Why? Because the circumstance changed. You see, the circumstances jerks me around. Whatever the circumstance dictates is what I am. I'm a puppet to circumstance. I would rather be a servant to the Lord Jesus Christ than a puppet to circumstance. I know in whom I believed. I know in whom I believed. The world will sacrifice long-term joy for short-term happiness, but a martyr will sacrifice short-term happiness, aka everything, for long-term joy. Hence, all those that went to the gallows, all those that went to the Colosseum, I will not deny who I live for, and I'll gladly die for Him. They exchange short-term happiness for long-term joy. It's an amazing principle, this concept of joy. I think one tough thing, though, is in our Declaration of Independence, which is an awesome document, it says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Amen. That we are endowed by their Creator. Thank God we have a Creator. With certain inalienable rights. Among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, there's a debate about what the word happiness may have meant in 1776. Our current usage of the word happiness is, oh, it's pleasant, it's positive, it's my emotions are touched and tickled, it's situations and circumstances are going great. My needs, my wants, everything, my desires are being satisfied. Whereas in 1776, the common meaning may have been prosperity, thriving, or well-being, this document that I was reading. Well-being. Well-being. Something in my being is well. Not my circumstances are good. Something in me is good. Something in me is well. Something in me is satisfied at my core. And that comes from that relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, enjoyed through the expression of the Holy Spirit in day-to-day living. The Bible never says, blessed are those who pursue blessedness. Blessed are those who pursue blessedness. It never says to pursue happiness. It says we are to pursue Him. Happiness or joy is a byproduct of pursuing God. Got God? Got joy. If you got God and don't have joy, then somehow you're not walking the relationship that God has for you. If you're going, Pastor Phil, I got God, but I'm not walking in joy, then I'm telling you that you're missing out on what the Lord wants to give you. Somebody's robbing you. I'll talk about the end here of the joy that you have. Or the joy that you're supposed to possess. But somehow those aren't connecting. And what I'm saying to you is God has a joyful, wonderful, awesome life intended for you to live. One without tragedy? No. One without difficulty? No. One without hardships? No, no, no. With all those things, and with them all, your joy becomes complete. Your joy is overflowing. Your joy scratches the heads of the world who can't understand why. Why, Horatio? Why write that song? Why don't you go, God, you hate me? By the way, he went on to have four other daughters. He had five, had a son, lost a son, lost four daughters, had four more daughters, lost another daughter to pneumonia. Why, God? Why? Get mad at him. Get angry at him. I'm just mad at you, God, because you're not. What natural circumstance didn't he shift for you? What didn't he hocus pocus dominocus and make better for you? Where did he not turn on the air conditioner for you? Where did we get mad at him sometimes? And I'm trying to make light of it, because some of those things are mad because we don't understand why this rape happened. We don't understand why our kid died and we did everything we could. I can't understand why a loving God would. I can't answer totally to you that question other than look down there. Because everything is awesome. Everything is amazing. Everything is great. He's opened up heaven eternal for us. Joy. Something that comes from my relationship with Christ. The Bible never said, blessed are those who pursue blessedness. He said, blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who are hungry. Blessed are those that weep. Blessed are those that when men hate you. I'm going, wait a second. No. You're supposed to be, blessed are you when everything is going great. Blessed are when you make lots of money. Blessed are you when you laugh. Blessed are you when everybody loves you. What the? It doesn't make sense. Why am I blessed when all this is happening? Because I'm in you. Because I'm in here. And oh, by the way, I'm going to use all of that to grow you. I'm going to use all of that to change you. And some of it you'll never understand until you get on those doors at the very end. But I'm going to ask you, will you trust me as I lead you? Will you trust me in all of that stuff to realize there's a God in heaven who's watching? There's a God in heaven who cares. There's a God in heaven who's answering. Maybe not the way you want to now or as quickly as you want now. But he's there. We haven't come to the last chapter yet of your life. Pursue God, and God will give you joy. He'll give you His joy. Pursue happiness, and you'll miss out on everything. It's interesting. I think sometimes we tend to live for happiness instead of living from joy. We live for happiness instead of from joy. You see, Horatio here wasn't living for happiness. He was living from joy. You can tell Christians who are living from joy and are living for happiness. You can see them. Just look at what happens in their lives and see how they respond. Those that have the sense of the fruit of the Spirit of joy, not the world's definition of happy. The world's happiness comes from stuff, situations, and circumstances. Joy comes from God. It's the essence of who He is. Happiness is fleeting. As stuff, situations, and circumstances change, so does our happiness. But joy, the joy of the Lord, is not fleeting, for God is not changing. It is not based on stuff, situations, or circumstances, but it's based on Him, and He's eternal, sovereign, almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He is awesome! And He lives in you. You see, the litmus test of your strength is the joy you have. How strong of a Christian are you? I'll just take a look at your joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. How strong are you? How joyful are you? Your Christian strength and character are directly related to your joy. Remember Paul and Silas? They're preaching the gospel down at Philippi. The Philippian jailer, they beat them with rods. They're beating them. They beat them up and then throw them in jail. And Paul and Silas are in jail going, crud, we're doing this all for God. Look how God treats us. This is awful. I can't believe I serve Him and He treats me like this. That wasn't what they were saying at all. They're in the midst of all of this tough stuff, this bad situation. It was midnight. I thought it was interesting they say in the scripture, it was midnight, the darkest hour. And what were they doing? They were praying and singing hymns to God. I don't think the hymn was, oh God, you're awful, we hate you, you're a bum. I don't think that's what they were singing. They'd been praying, Lord, can you help us out of this? By the way, we love you. You're awesome. You're magnificent. You've got all power. You can do it. Do what you want with us, Lord. You see, they had joy. Their joy was not affected by circumstance. In tough times, you need to know how to possess your joy and use it. The problems with most Christians is that we don't use our joy in the toughest times when it's the best advantage we have. We so easily surrender it. We so easily surrender it to circumstance and situation rather than holding on, possessing it and using it, because Jesus Christ is my hope. We surrender it.
Goes my joy. I lost my joy. Where'd it go? I let go of it. Why didn't you hold on to it? I didn't know I could because situations, circumstances were happening, so I just surrendered it. They said, I want your joy. And I said, okay, you can have it.
I've done that, okay? So I'm just sharing with you a couple of situations in my own life where I surrendered it. Joy comes as you trust God with your life. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And he wasn't walking through happy circumstances. Instead of, why is this happening to me? I trust You. I trust You, Lord. Joy comes not from adding Christ to your life, but by placing Him in the center.
Wait a second, why isn't things happening? I had a Jesus in my life. I got Him. He's here. I got Jesus. Why is my life falling apart?
I'm not saying add Him to your life. He's got to be in the center of it. He's got to be, hey, I look through everything through this lens. Oh, what happened? Oh, man, my whole world's falling apart. Oh, wow. Well, when I look in the light of eternity, this is really fickle. This is no big deal at all. You see, He has to be at the center of it. We have to filter everything through Him. Through Him, through His Word, through what He said. We got to filter it that way. If we just, I add into my life and I'm just, oh my gosh, I'm blinded by, oh, this is so horrific. No. You've got to place Him in the center. If not, you'll surrender so many things that the Bible gives you, that the Lord Jesus Christ gives you. Your joy is based on your growing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. During tough times, the core of your joy is going to be tested. But when Jesus was tested, He withstood the test. He lives in you. Pass it. Let me give you a couple of observations. Your joy rests on God's joy. I think we've talked about that. In a fallen world, cursed and made vain by so many points, we are fundamentally unhappy and prone to long bouts with unhappiness. We are made happy by having stuff, getting gifts, or feeling like we belong in a group. In stark contrast, God is happy or joyful within Himself. God is joy, and God wants to give you joy in every situation. Remember the song? We sing it at Christmas. Joy to the world. Why? Why is there joy in the world? The Lord has come. There's joy in this world. Why? One reason and one reason alone. The Lord has come and He lives inside of you. You know, I think about joy. It's lemon scent. How many here ever had to do dishes? Over here, God, don't tell me that. You had a dishwasher. Let me tell you, in my day, the dishwasher was Philip. That was the dishwasher. We call the dishwasher Philip. He was like a living being because he was a living being. It was me. Now it's like, you have the dishes? Yeah. I had to put them in a dishwasher. Oh my God. And then after that, if that wasn't enough, after that, I had to take them out. Oh, woe is me. Now, back in my day, you had dishes all jammed in the sink. And all the pots and pans and grease and every grease was everywhere. And so you had joy, though. This is ultra joy. Joy made washing dishes easier. Because the other crud, you put in there and all of a sudden, I can't even get any grease out. I got grease all in my sink. But you put this in like, oh wow, I can do more dishes with this. I mean, you don't hear any of these commercials today because we don't do any of this now. Joy, when added to tough grime and junk, washes a lot of things away. You see, you're trying to live your life without joy and doing the dishes without joy, you're going to have a hard time in life. You got to get in there and you're washing that greasy pot out with just water. You're going, geez, how do we get this out? Stay there and rub the Teflon off and it'll be clean. We've got to add joy to our life. If you don't have joy in your life, the tough things of your life will be tougher. If you have joy in your life, the tough things of your life will be made easier. Look at this commercial. 1960, folks. Look at all the special effects. Notice how fast it moves, too.
Hey, what are you girls doing? Looking for the name of my china?
No, I'm looking at myself. And like what you see? I sure do.
You sure do.
I can see myself in this plate. And this glass.
And the silver. You've discovered some way to make dishes shine.
Discovered something new.
Think
now
about
I
joy.
Want them the way you should. Enjoy.
That's right. You can take real pride in your dishes. Joy gets dishes more than clean. You get to see yourself shine. Joy is clear, crystal clear. There's nothing to dull dishes, so your china and glasses dry shiny, even the pots and pans. Want to see yourself shine? Get joy. Get your dishes more than clean with the different dishwashing liquid, Crystal Clear Joy. Get joy and get a see yourself shine.
Great.
That's what we grew up on, all right? Like, wow, I wouldn't even watch it. It just doesn't move. Get a see yourself shine. You see, joy allows us to shine through the difficulties of life. And people are looking. There's one thing that says, grease to shine and half the time. That was another one of their ads. Grease to shine and half the time. You see, joy cuts through the grease, the difficulties of life. My point here is joy washes off the grime of the world. Joy washes off the grime of the world. You go out there and everybody's mad at this and bummed at that and this isn't happening and that's going on and all the tragedies and all the stuff. It gets really... Joy washes off the grime of the world. Kay Warren's new book, it's entitled Choose Joy Because Happiness Isn't Enough. In Psalm 33 in the Message Bible, she says this, or the Bible says this, although this is a paraphrase because the Message is not a direct translation, but we're depending on God. He's everything we need. What's more, our hearts brim with joy since we've taken for our own His holy name. Love us, God, with all you've got. That is what we're depending on. We're depending on you, God. She comes up with this definition of joy. Joy is a settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in every situation. Matthew Henry said, holy joy will be oil to the wheels of our obedience. Oh, I want to do it, Lord, because of the joy you give. The next observation is, God really does delight in you and wants you to live in joy. He wants you to enjoy joy. Enjoy joy. Enjoy joy. If you assume that God is fundamentally angry and simultaneously we realize that we're nothing but dirty, rotten, miserable sinners, you don't have a lot of room to think that God wants to give you any joy. But if you understand that it's the core of His being, He is joy. It says in Zephaniah 3:17, He will take great delight in you, and He will rejoice over you with singing. He'll rejoice over you with singing. He's a Father. You know, we sing, we come to worship and we sing and we worship God and we sing praises to Him. God's singing over you. This scripture says He delights in you and He's singing over you. You get up in the morning, He's singing about you. Now, I love to sing to all my grandkids, to my kids' chagrin. I sing to them all the time. And it goes something like this. There once was a boy named, and the whole group's there, and usually Holden goes, Holden! Because he's the youngest. There once was a boy named Holden. He was so big and bright. His grandpa loved him so, so much. He loved him out of sight. And my kids hate the song. But I love it. I make up words all along. I make up so many words and they go, you know, the song goes crazy. But I love my grandkids. And I want them to know what I feel about them. I want them to know when they grow up going, oh, I remember my grandpa used to sing to us. Yeah, he must have been a good grandpa. God's a good God and He sings over you. Because He loves you. He loves you. Because He loves you. Because He loves you. Because He loves you. Joyful people express more joy than non-joyful people. Okay, I just want you to know I was there writing this message. And I go, and this came to me. And I said, wow. Lord, thank you for this profound revelation. I know it's pretty obvious, right? Joyful people express more joy than non-joyful people. If hurting people do hurtful things and forgiving people do forgiving things, then joyful people do joyful things. Are you doing joyful things? Because they make life better. They make life better. The world is enticed by Christians who live with joy and are turned off by those that don't. They're enticed by Christians who live with joy and turned off by those who don't live with joy. And finally, as we bring this home to a conclusion, my observation here is the devil wants to steal your joy. So don't let him. I can't. He's big. He's mean. He asked for it. He said, give me the joy. Okay. Do you know your position in Christ? The devil is here, under your feet, under your heel. He says it will stomp his head. That's your position that you have. Don't surrender your joy in situation and circumstance. Don't surrender your joy because it's tough or difficult. Don't surrender your joy because some guy with ugly face and horns on his head and weird tail. No, it doesn't come like that. He comes in the midst of a tragedy saying, wow, look how God disappointed you here. You serve Him and look what He did for you. Nothing. He didn't care. He didn't love you. You're a sinner. You're rotten. You're so rotten, God wouldn't even save you. God wouldn't come and rescue you in this. And we surrender it. Don't surrender it. Because when you surrender your joy, you surrender your strength as a Christian. He wants your joy because He will neutralize you. He will neuter you. He will take away from you and you will be useless to advance the kingdom of God. Because without the joy that's your strength, you have no unction. You have no you have no impetus to want to go out there and make a difference in the world. We sulk. Woe is me. He loves you to surrender it to Him. Give me that joy. He wants it. But we need to possess our joy. Don't lose it. Use it. Let's pray. Father, I I thank you that this message, you know, applies in my life. I want to be more aware of the joy I possess in each and every situation and circumstance of my life. To not let my emotions move so radically. I know that you gave us emotions, Lord, to enjoy. But help us, Lord, to have such a trust in you that we see so far past this moment in the eternity of God that it seems to almost disappear in importance in light of your glory and grace. The things of the world grow strangely dim in light of that glory and grace. Help us to realize that that joy, that excitement, that, yes, Lord, I love you, is our strength. It gives us the strength of character. We can accomplish all things through Christ who strengthens us. How does he strengthen us? By giving us his joy. So we say, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll do that. Yeah, I'll say that. Help us, Lord, to trust you so much that we do what you say and we enjoy being the joyful Christians that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name. Today, if you don't know the Lord, would you please come up here after I get done? Don't just wait. Just come. Don't think about it. What would it look like? That doesn't matter. Maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you need to recommit your life to the Lord. Come up here afterwards and say, Lord, I want the joy. Sometimes if your joy's not there, then you got to take a look at, well, okay, what's going on in your life? But also the other thing is if you're just walking in happiness, that's a disguise that the enemy uses to keep you from looking for joy. And utilizing that joy. Come on up here. We'll pray for you. Maybe you need prayer for something else. Come on up here. We'll pray for you. We believe that God will touch you in a powerful and amazing way. Afterwards, I think we're having a reception as well, aren't we? For if you're new here, we got some refreshments in the back and all that for you. But today, tomorrow, this week, take joy. Take joy. Fight the grime. Fight the junk. Fight the tough stuff by possessing your joy. God bless you. You're dismissed.